Welcome back. You're listening to the Healthy Aging Show.
We found an article, or better yet, TC found an article on LifeScript, and it caused us to do some more research. The article was entitled, "No Link Found Between Vaccine, Mercury, and Autism." And what this had to do with was the article revolves around concerns about a link between vaccines and autism, which was first raised more than a decade ago by British physician Andrew Wakefield. In his report, which was based upon 12 children, which has since been discredited and was retracted earlier this year by the journal that it was published in, there is in vaccine, or was in vaccine because it's no longer and it's been removed, thimerosal, which is a mercury-based preservative. And the article by Dr. Wakefield credited autism as being in part caused by that additive in the vaccine. And what it did was it sparked a fierce worldwide debate among scientists and a health scare that caused many parents to shy away from recommended vaccines like the one against measles, mumps, and rubella. The result was outbreaks in all three. What they did find in subsequent tests was that among 256 children with an autism spectrum disorder and compared them with 752 children who did not have the condition, no matter when a child had been exposed to thimerosal, before birth when the mother had a shot, or when the child itself was vaccinated as a baby or toddler, there was no increase in the risk of any type of autism.
And actually, Dennis, in fact, those kids who were exposed to the preservative between birth and 20 months of age had slightly lower odds of developing the condition.
And in fact, thimerosal is no longer contained in vaccines, so it's not even an issue. But for parents who remain concerned about thimerosal in the flu shot, author of this article said that there are alternatives without preservative, such as flu mist and nasal spray, which can be used in children age 2 and older. Some parents are also worried about giving too many shots at once, or in children who are too young, which could cause mental problems.
Well, I think the children would be very happy to have not quite
probably
so many
not
shots at once.
But those studies have dispelled any concerns over mental problems. What this gave rise to was, let's look at other issues about vaccines, because we had recently done a show on public health, and among the credits to public health were what?
Well, credits were the vaccines that have been created in the continuum of longevity of people because of that concentration.
Exactly.
But what I didn't realize, Dennis, is that even we older folks need to have continuing vaccines.
But it also continues to be a controversy. The vaccine benefits are tremendous. There was an article that was dated March 29th, 2008. It's called "A Multitude of Vaccine Benefits, Yet Controversy Persists." It was written by Donald McNeil in the New York Times. He discusses the fact that so many of the diseases that plagued us, measles, diphtheria, whooping cough, tetanus, polio, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, flu, hepatitis, meningitis, pneumonia, and diarrhea have been tremendously reduced or eradicated through the use of vaccination, which is one of the greatest results of the public health system.
Yes, as we've discovered.
And this article goes on to say, and I'm not sure that I totally agree with this, because that wasn't the reason that I thought that people had kids. In addition, vaccination is one of the leading reasons that many families in the West now feel comfortable. Having only two or three children, they can reasonably be certain that the children will survive childhood. I always thought it was for working the fields and making sure that you had a comfortable retirement.
Well, in some of the some of the third world countries, you genuinely would do that. You would have a high number of children to have survivability for the family.
Well, understandably, but it's just something that I really hadn't focused on. But, but the article goes on to say that death rates for 13 diseases that can be prevented by childhood vaccinations were at all-time lows in the United States, according to a CDC study in 2007. And of those, 9, the rates of death and hospitalization declined by 90%. And for 3, the rates dropped by 100%.
Since 1990, vaccines have become somewhat controversial, even in the United States.
As these diseases have disappeared, generations have grown up without ever seeing sickness and death that they cause, but at the same time, new parents are often upset that their babies receive 20 and 30 injections before the age of 2.
Ouch.
In addition, just as we talked about the thimerosal, and even though it has been debunked, there's an active anti-vaccine lobby that keeps the issue alive. All states require where children gathering in a school setting before enrollment have to prove that they have been properly immunized. There are some exceptions, though.
Now, parents are adamantly against being immunized. I wonder what recourse they have.
Well, they have a religious objection, and they have the immunocompromised or allergic to vaccine components. It doesn't say anything about their conscientious objection. Health insurers pay for most vaccines, and public clinics offer them free to the uninsured. And much of this is under the Vaccines for Children's program of 1994. Before that time, incomplete vaccination was most common among the poor. Now it's more common among the wealthy and middle class, presumably because their parents object.
Well, to me, it sounds as if we are living longer and good reason to have vaccines.
Well, but vaccines, as much as that article related to children, an article dated September 24th of 2010 by Leslie Alderman, also in the New York Times, cost and lack of awareness hamper adult vaccination efforts. And just as we said in this previous article that whooping cough was one of those diseases eradicated, not quite. There are 11,500 cases of whooping cough as of September 24th, or better known as pertussis, or lesser known as pertussis, that have been reported nationwide, and in California, 9 infants have died from it.
And it takes a long time to get rid of it once you have it.
You ever had it?
No, but it's about 6 weeks.
I had it. I was one of two children in the state of Connecticut, and it turned out that the other person was a friend of mine, so we must have given it to one another.
Well, that's very nice of you to share, Dennis. Do you remember how miserable you felt?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a terrible coughing fit to the point of it was hurting, and it just wouldn't go away.
So this could be very serious, actually, for somebody compromised or elderly. They do recommend that adults get the booster shot.
Because they can pass it on. There is the concern. Some of those children that died had not received all their shots, but some of those deaths might have been prevented if more adults had been immunized, because they can pass the illness to vulnerable children.
Right.
And I presume not receiving or not being subject to the disease itself, but they can be a carrier.
We are usually anticipating entering an area of young people that we might become exposed, as opposed to the reverse. Yes, here's one time where we carry the new germs, potentially. One of the concerns that they're finding with adults is, first of all, not realizing that we need some of these vaccines, but also the shots can be expensive. And they're looking at from $20 to $200 a dose.
But under the new Health Reform Act, there is a provision that calls for these vaccinations to be free under your medical plans or to be offered by public health.
Mm-hmm.
But most adults don't consider getting a vaccination until they've stepped on a rusty nail or they're traveling outside the country.
And I'm thinking that traveling outside the country is something to definitely revisit. And one of the things you're saying here is that this is also a way to prevent illness in the future and preserve health.
Well, it's a tremendous way of saving money. If you go in and you have complications from the flu and you're hospitalized, the costs are thousands of dollars on a societal basis, as opposed to $7, $10. One of the other reasons is, besides the cost, is lack of awareness.
Yeah.
Doctors often fail to remind patients that they require booster shots, and consumers are not well informed about the need.
Now, the flu shot is a mere $20 and is often offered for free. And then there's also a comment about the pneumonia vaccine,
which we've talked about before and many people don't know about.
Right. And that is something that you need to specifically have a conversation with your doctor, because there are some different theories or roadmaps that your doctor may have.
Now, let's go back to this new requirement under the Health Reform Act. There is a catch.
There usually is.
The article says, under the law, group and individual health plans such as Medicare must provide preventive health services, including immunizations recommended by the CDC, free of charge. That means no co-payments, co-insurance, or deductibles. Here's the catch. If you are in a group or individual health plan, your plan must be new or it must have undergone substantial changes in order for the new requirements to apply. In addition, certain recent vaccine recommendations will not be covered right away. If you are uncertain, call your insurer.
So you can be further confused.
Well, further confused, but hopefully better vaccinated. Now, the flu vaccine, for the first time this year, the CDC recommends that everyone, regardless of age or health, get a flu shot. And this year, the shot, it will include protection against the H1N1 virus. If you haven't, here's how to get your insurance. Okay. Well, let's go back here, because you had said you weren't sure what shots you had as a child.
Right.
And I said, I'm not sure that you can double up on them. But
you said
to this,
you have a file that's about 12 inches thick at your doctor.
I do, but not everybody, not 12 inches thick. According to Dr. Robert Hopkins, who's the professor of internal medicine and pediatrics at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, he said, when in doubt, get vaccinated. There's very little risk with getting a second dose of a vaccine. You may want to talk to your doctor, but double check. If you have insurance, you can call your primary care physician, explain what you would, that you would like to get your vaccinations up. Not all vaccinations or vaccines are readily available in the doctor's office. I can probably, he or she, probably tell you that certain vaccines are not available, but where they can be found or how long it'll take. And then call your insurance and ask if they cover the vaccines free of charge, and if not, how much they would charge or how much they would pay of that. And if the fees are too high, there are alternatives.
Yes.
If you, again, obviously, if you lack coverage, you could always pay for it out of pocket. But public health departments have programs that will provide for vaccinations at reduced cost. Unfortunately, there's no federally funded program for adult immunizations, only for children.
Now, what I was going to point out here is which vaccinations do adults need, and this is a very nice,
attached to,
colorful.
Was it attached? It's attached to this chart. This article.
This chart's great.
Attached to the Alderman article is a chart of the 13 recommended CDC vaccines, what they're for, when you should have it, and who should have it, and there are some, and all are primarily age-specific. And I didn't know that there was a vaccine that is recommended for adults for shingles.
And I didn't realize that I'm right on the cusp here of not having to get measles or mumps.
Okay.
Very excited about that.
Well,
these are important.
The shingles vaccine, I think, is important because we see a lot of clients that have shingles or had shingles, and it's very painful.
It's very uncomfortable.
And only 7% of Americans over age 60 have received the herpes zoster vaccine. That is one of the recommended vaccines. The article is Leslie Alderman, New York Times, September 24th, 2010, Cost and Lack of Awareness Hamper Adult Vaccination Efforts.
Now, Dennis, I would suggest here that you may want to give out the phone number in case someone would like to get a copy of this. This is an important one.
Call us, and we'll give you the information. We can fax it to you, email it to you. It's 203-629-5029.
This is very helpful to have because I know I don't have this.
Well, we had put together a little brochure called Communicating with Your Doctor and Making Your Doctor Visits a Success. The purpose of this brochure that we wrote, and we're more than happy to mail it or email it to you, is just a little bit of a pointer-outer of things that you should expect and things that you can do when you visit your doctor.
Is pointer-outer a real word?
It is now.
Okay.
I just made it a word. But the problem so many of us have when we make appointments with our doctor is we make the appointment, and then we get there, and we have limited time to be in his presence because doctors today are very busy. So we go there, and we might be flustered. We may be slower to respond to his questions, and he may be one step out the door asking his last question, and you have things that you knew you were going to ask, but you didn't.
And Dennis, in my case, we know that women have more words than men.
Twice as many.
Yes.
And so if you have issues that you want to deal with, discuss with your doctor. You make a list.
Good idea.
And
it will keep you focused and timely.
Right. And actually, I have a tip that if you have access to a fax machine, and many, many people do now, I found that just making an appointment with a doctor is very convenient to send them a fax, and I got a quick response. You can also communicate some of the issues that you want to discuss with the doctor so he's prepared and he knows that you're going to have more than just the 7 minutes that he's allotted for your visit. And if you have to go to the doctor's office and wait, be prepared to wait.
Right.
And don't become too impatient. And also, bring someone with you if it'll make you more comfortable, because that way you'll have a second set of ears.
There's always that adrenaline factor, too. You always feel better when you get to the doctor's.
I find that making that appointment with the doctor usually clears up everything that's bothering.
Definitely.
All right. Well, this is available by contacting us. You can contact us through Comfort Keepers or the Healthy Aging Show. It's a joint effort, and we just want you to have it because it's good, useful information.
We will be back next week, and have a good week.
Please subscribe, recommend, and visit our website, healthyagingshow.com. Thanks for joining us at the Healthy Aging Show.